How many of you know that God lives inside you? Then all things are possible with him. It's only not possible if you keep drawing from the outward man and not from the one inside. Two guys first. The black and the white. Okay, let me have that white man. Yes, come. Okay. You'll be in the front, he will be at the back. This is a believer. The only difference is this one is inside. And this one looks like this one. Or actually, it's the outward man that looks like this one. If I ask you who was created first, the one outside or the one inside, what do you think? It's the one inside. The one inside was created in Genesis chapter 1. The one outside was created in Genesis chapter 2. There are two chapters of creative acts of God. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3 is where things got messed up. That's where the fall occurred. Chapter 1 is where God creates spiritual things. Everything is created twice. Everything. Chapter 1 is where he creates the spiritual dimension of that thing. Then chapter 2 is where he gives it his physical expression. Look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. In the beginning, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the face of the earth. Did he just talk about, let us do it? The next verse said he did it. Verse 27. And God made man. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. So both Adam and Eve were created in Genesis chapter 1. Then what is it that we are reading in chapter 2 that God now went to the ground to make a human being from clay? And when he finished, is the outward man, this one, the one you are looking at. So you exist in two dimensions. People always ask me, I say, Pastor, I hear that man is a spirit that have a soul that live in a body. Does it mean there are three? I said, the soul is part of the inward man. The soul is part of the inward, just like the brain is part of the outward man. The soul is actually your thinking faculties, your mind, your emotion, and your will. What the brain is doing for your body is what the soul is doing for the spirit. So, you see, when you die now, you will remember this service. As you leave your body, you're going, you will still remember your family. Because you will have, apart from information in your brain, you will have everything in your life recorded in your soul. You have your memory there. You still have your mind that can think. That's why people can regret. That's why people will remember, I had opportunity to receive Christ, I didn't, if they are going to hell. That's why the rich man there is saying, send somebody to my family, I don't want them to come here. If you remove the soul, the spirit cannot cry. The soul is the reason the spirit has emotion. Because in the soul is where your emotion is, the feelings. So God gave the body, brain, and the nervous system, the five senses, and gave the spirit a soul along with it. So you only have two parts of man that is separatable. The outward man, the inward man. That's all. Now here is the mystery about Christianity. God came, took this one that was like the devil. This one that fell. This one and created, made him a new creature. Made him brand new and he made him exactly like himself. In Genesis chapter 1, he said he made man in his image. This is the man. Then he made a body that will look like him. That's why if you come out and look at your body, it's the same person. The only difference is if you have some marks and some wounds, If you have broken your leg and you walk like this, this one doesn't have broken leg. Spirits don't break legs. So anytime we discuss faith, we're talking about the power of God. We're talking about dominion. We're talking about, this is the man we're talking about. We're trying to train you how to use the power of the inward man. Because this is the one that is in touch with the Holy Ghost. If somebody is trying to pray for the sick, you pray the first time, nothing happens. No. You laid this hand. That's what you did. Switch back to the power of this man and lay that hands again. Even if it takes you a whole day, you turn this man on with prayer. When you are hearing the word now, this is the man I'm feeding. When you go to a restaurant after the service, this is the one you're feeding. When you are doing praise and worship, this is the one that activates. When you go and play fino, this is the one that activates. When Satan wants to reach you, he comes through this. The five senses. When God wants to reach you, he comes through this. So, you see, there's a conflict between the man of the spirit and the man of the flesh. A Christian lives triumphantly, victoriously, by living from inside out. Do you see, when God comes to bless you, he puts the blessing here. It is your job now to learn how to draw it out here. This man is already a blessed man. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The guy in the projector, how many spiritual blessings? How many? Can I hear how many? How many? Do you have gifts of the Spirit? Do you have the anointing? Do you have salvation? Do you have favor? Do you have wisdom? Where is it? A lot of the things you are still demanding from God, he has already given you. Oh, like the people who came for the weekend, and I think last night was impartation night. The power of God was coming on men like, when he finishes, this is where the other anointing stays. It's inside you. You can wake up on a Tuesday and don't feel anointed. It doesn't change anything. The power that drives a car is in the engine, not in the body. And if you don't know this, you can wake up that Tuesday and start pushing this one. You go back to where you used to be. Your mind will go back and you start thinking like an ordinary man, forgetting that you are God's Superman. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So as I speak to you this morning, realize that the resources, look at it. Blessed be God. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Why don't you show me the Peter equivalent of it? 2 Peter chapter 1, where he said he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This man is already a wealthy man. This is the one that is trying to catch up. So there are five secrets for releasing the things that you already have here or the things that God has already given you in the spirit into the natural. According to his divine power, he has given to us all things, all. That pertains to life and godliness. If I take godliness first, everything I need to live my Christian life has been given. From salvation to Holy Spirit to his gifts to anointing to favor to revelation to everything. If I take everything I need for this life, it has been given. The wife I will marry, the house I will build, the job, everything has been released. God is not holding anything back. We are his children. He put us in his will. He said we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. God is not holding anything back. Never you say, I'm quarreling with God. I don't understand what he's doing. No, the only person that is creating headache for you is Satan. And remember, Satan fights at this level. Anytime you take the battle here, you take him out completely. So here, you use faith. Here, you use prayer. Here, you use love. Here, you use all of those weapons. The man here tries to use gossip, tries to use hate, tries to use quarrels. He's operating in the natural. The man here uses natural weapons. This one fights with supernatural weapons. And these two people are in one body. This man is inside this one. Like the engine is inside the car. Lift up your hands this one. Say, Lord, open my eyes. I want to know how to function from inside out. I need to give you a scripture and I'll hit some things now. Ephesians chapter 2 or 3 verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think, according to the power. Look at that scripture. There are two things that God responds to. One is vision, the other is prayer. One is what you think, the other is what you ask. One is an idea, the other is prayer. One is a dream, the other is prayer. One is a goal, the other is prayer. You don't have anything you are thinking. You don't have any dream. You don't have any vision. You don't have any goal. There's nothing for God to create for you. But now, watch the point. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. But the power he uses to get it done is where? According to the power that worketh in us. That means the answer to your prayer is already here. The power that powers your dream is inside you. The power that answers your prayer is inside you. How many of you have received Christ in your life? Let me see your hand. Where is Jesus living? Jesus has two addresses. One is heaven, the other is where? He lives right here. The Holy Ghost is now on earth and is living in you. And it's that Holy Spirit that created the whole universe. So when I pray, my friends, and I kneel down, I pray in tongues. As I'm praying, I'm waiting for signals like an idea that will drop, a revelation that will drop, insight. The moment that happens, I get up and thank God. He has answered my prayer. The remaining is for me to go and put it to work. God's spirit is God's answer. In the Old Testament, there is a way you know that God has answered you. You go to the altar, put a sacrifice, and you start praying like Solomon. Fire drops from heaven. If you're asking God for a car, what he will send from heaven is what? Fire. If you're asking God for a wife, guess what will come down from heaven? Fire. If you are asking God for a contract, guess what will come from heaven? Fire! If you are asking God, I want to build 10,000 of the total, guess what will come from heaven? Fire! Another person is asking, fruit of the womb, guess what comes from heaven? Fire! The same thing comes to all the prayers people pray. But that thing is what answers our prayer. Once God sends fire, he is announcing prayer answered. Go and convert. If you were barren before, go meet your husband. You will have a child now. If you went to 100 places, they didn't give you a job. Now go apply. You will get the job. If you apply for contract and the file got missing, now go and resubmit a file. Now that contract will be awarded. Because the fire of God is the announcement of heaven. The case is over. Holy Spirit is what God sends. Check day of Pentecost. They prayed. What did he send? Holy Ghost and fire. Acts chapter 14. Chapter 4. They were persecuting them. And they prayed. Chapter 4. I thought what will come down is Herod will die. This one will happen. Guess what happened? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit is God's answer. So when I'm praying, and I pray, and I pray, I get to that place, the anointing hits me. Prayer answered. I come to church, I worship, the glory hits me, or hits the service. Prayer has been answered. It means God is now here. So what do you do to convert it? That's when I do what God did in Genesis. And God said, I turn to that situation and change it with my mouth. Because when the fire is on me, I have the ability to speak and change anything like God will speak and change it. I think you need to get to your seat so you will see the gist. Genesis chapter 1. I said you keep one finger there, then Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Let's start with Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Everything, animals, plants, trees, mountains, ocean, rivers, oxygen, atoms, were created by God's spoken words. God created his world with his mouth. You create your world with your mouth. God made the universe with words. We make our own universe with our words. So how to create something out of nothing? First law is a dream. Because when you speak, okay, leave it. First, it's a dream, a desire, a vision. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the world is plural, visible and invisible, spiritual and natural. Angels and human beings, heaven and earth, were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, the visible world that we see, were made out of things that are invisible. And because the invisible is the mother of the invisible controls the visible. It's the fourth dimension that controls the third dimension. Third dimension is the physical world. You can see every object on earth is a three-dimensional object. There are very few two-dimensional objects, maybe a piece of paper. But once that paper, you put another paper and another paper, it becomes three-dimensional immediately, like your Bible. You're holding a three-dimensional object. A piece of paper that is just flat might just be two-dimensional. If you draw a single line. You know, some of you didn't do geometry. So you might be wondering, if you draw a line, this is one dimension. And there are very few things that are one dimensional on earth, like a thread. You used to sew your rope, sew your dress. That can be a one dimensional object. But the moment this thing gets a little more distant, it has become two dimensional. That means it has length and width. This physical world. So a piece of paper, just one plain sheet, can be like that. The longer part and the width. But the book also has height or depth. So he said three-dimensional. Every other thing, three-dimensional. Very few two-dimensional objects. Maybe a leaf of a tree. A piece of light cloth. Because most things don't just have that flat surface. They have thickness. And that's why there is already length and width here. But the moment you do like this, in order to get volume, this is already a three-dimensional object. And that's where anything that can hold water, that can hold things, anything. It's three, everything, almost everything is three-dimensional. Even my hanky, that is two-dimensional, just a piece of. By the time I fold it and it gets thickness, it's three-dimensional. That's the physical world. But there's a world of fourth dimension that is invisible. That's what is covering everything. The physical world came out of it. And that's what controls it. It's here. The fourth dimension is here. It's the spiritual world. If you're going to have dominion, you need to start understanding how that world works. You check. The man is shaking. He said, what is wrong with you? He said, Marelia. What is Marelia? How many of you have seen Marelia? He said, I don't believe in anything that I can't see. But look at the man shaking. The physical world is shaking, and what is shaking it is unseen. Look at the woman. She has all her reproductive organs intact. She can't have a child. You go to the doctor. Doctor says, everything is fine. Conceive now. Wahala. What is stopping her? What is stopping her? Yet you call some of us that understand four dimensions. We rebook the invisible. The physical conceives. If I slap you now, there will be anger. Am I correct? You won't be happy. But at least you know what I did. I used physical object to do it, my hand. This is physical versus physical. It creates a reaction, anger. But what if I stand here? I won't touch you. I'll just stand here and talk to you, say all kinds of nonsense, tell lies. I will produce the same result without any physical. What is that thing that I use? You see, it's not something visible. You can't see words, yet it produces the same result with hands. So this man is sick. You give him medicine. That's physical. You can see the medicine, Panadol. It will calm his head. You call me. I don't need Panadol. I talk to the headache. It vanishes. So if they ask you, you think I didn't give him drug. I gave him. But the type I gave him is invisible. So watch. When he said God created the physical world, the things that we see came out of the things that do not appear. Don't you know that even science now understands atom, proton, and neutron? You say you don't believe in those things. Every material thing you have now came out of those three basics. And then in the neutron again, they have found three other particles that form it.
With all my argument, I don't believe, because you can't see an atom. You can't see a neutron. They are called the subatomic world. They are invisible world. But that is the building block for the material world. That's why you take water that you see, you freeze it, it becomes ice. Actually, ice can be so strong that it's stronger than iron. You know, it was in Canada, Pastor Frank took me, and I saw where a whole tractor, you know, caterpillar, fragment breaks into pieces. You see it scatter on the ground. And what did that code? During winter, they have things they do to them, the way they protect. Or a fragment, you see a whole tractor crack and break into pieces. And he was telling me, he said, ice is stronger than iron. Water is stronger than iron. Who can believe that? But you take that ice that is like stone, you heat it, it becomes water, it starts flowing. Before, if I throw it at you, blood will come out. Now I hold it, it slips out of my hand, it's water. Then I heat it. Next thing, it starts flying, it starts evaporating. After a while, the whole water has disappeared. It's now here before me, but I can't see it. Do you know that this place now is filled with water? This whole church. Apart from the one that is there, the atmosphere is filled with water. It's filled with other things like oxygen. That's what is keeping you alive. You can't see the oxygen. You say, I don't believe in anything I cannot see. They switch off the whole AC, lock us in here. 30 minutes after, people will start fainting. Take it further, 2 hours after, someone will be rushed to hospital. Some will be dead. What is killing them? Nobody shot a gun at anybody. Something invisible is making people fall down. It's making them pass out. You watch that water. You know, if you move us now to a cold region, a winter region, you will see each time I speak, water vapor will come out of my mouth. You will see it with your eyes. Because that is an environment that is helping you see the invisible. Some doctors have found, you know, mechanisms that they use in the lab to look at the invisible. Okay, this is what is disturbing this girl, is these bacteria. They now see it moving. You remove that thing, you look, nothing. Like your hand. The day they tested my hand under one of those their high-powered lens, and I put it, I saw it scroll. I said, no way, God forbid. It's Pastor Ben. I think it was Pastor Ben. I saw things move. I said, no way, impossible. This hand, I went and washed it. I put back. I saw things still moving with water. I said, what is that? Pastor Ben said, microbes. I said, what is microbes? He said, these are the things that cause sicknesses. So he said, do some experiment. Go flush the toilet and come back. They were everywhere. Because I just collected all the ones, all the different people that used that thing, dropped. You know, you finish using the toilet, you wash your hands, then you go and flush. He just collected germs. That's how a lot of girls get into trouble. They go sit on toilet, public toilet. They just come and sit on it, say you are doing whatever. When you finish, you deposit and you collect. And if some of them get into the wrong place, wahala has started. So I washed my hand a second time. There were still some, but he has reduced tremendously. He now said, go and open the door of the toilet. After all, when you finish washing, you open the door to come out. So I went and opened the door, and it was there again, filled up everywhere. I said, what kind of nonsense? Okay, no wonder the white people are now making automatic flush. It's because of this, not to make you look funky. They know that when you finish, you press that thing. All the people that has gone through that place, the deposits they left behind, there are different bacteria, the ones imported from abroad, the ones from Nigeria, you collect. And then what some of you will do, you walk into Mr. Biggs and buy your burger. So I said, Lord, human beings are in trouble. He said, don't worry. I also created other things that kill those ones. They are also invisible. One of them is your white blood corpuscle. One of them is the antigens that are in the human body moving around like policemen. And guess what they do? Anywhere they see this, they eat. That's what they eat. You eat amalande wedding, they eat bacteria. It's when it's so much, they keep eating and they are overpowered because the thing. Because even when you have 20 policemen protecting you, and now the armed robbers are 250. You know what happens? They overpower the police. It's when too much invasion, bacteria, and they're overpowered. As they are walking, they are not able to. The man becomes sick. So what you do is you find poisons that kill that thing. And that's what they inject inside you. You call it medicine. It's poison. I studied industrial chemistry. What we do in the lab is, whatever type of bacteria you bring it, you'll be testing chemicals on them. There are some you pour on them, they will be eating it and be growing. The others you pour, you see it kills the thing. You pour this one, it kills. Then you bring the two that has capacity to kill and test it with rats. Because rats is close to human beings. What kills a rat to can kill a human being? Rat poison, now human poison. You test it with rats. And no, if we give to a human being in order to kill the bacteria, will it kill both the man and the bacteria? Let's test with rats. We inject the bacteria into the rats. And we inject that poison. And we find that the poison kills the bacteria and does not kill the rats. Okay, we can try this on human beings. That's why even when they create drugs, the World Medical Association will not allow that drug to come out. They have found some drugs that can cure HIV. But they will test it for years. They will take some patients. Some people will volunteer abroad. Nigerians, nobody is willing to volunteer. They will test drug. 5 years, some drugs, 10 years. And people are dying, but they will not give it to them. They are testing it on these ones, and they will leave them and study them. Okay, it didn't kill the man now, but let's give him 1 year to see if there are after effects. And they see, it actually cured him, but now his face is swelling. Okay, this one stopped this girl from getting pregnant. Contraceptive. But then, it has made her waist to become extra proportional. Side effect. So, if the girl has been dreaming of South African hip, let her go and take it. If she is the type that thinks she is fine, she should avoid that type. That's what it is. And then they take another one and test. The breast becomes extra proportional. But he has stopped her from getting pregnant. Another one takes it. There are breakouts all over the face. Pimples everywhere. She's trying to keep herself from having babies when she doesn't want. But now, breakouts. Using this. Using all the best things. The thing is breaking. She has to stop. How many of you have seen Attitude? Attitude is a mental disposition. A bent, a way your mind is set, mindset, is now producing certain type of behavior. You can see some behavior that come out of wrong attitude. You can see some behavior that come out of right attitude. For example, a grateful heart, you see that heart becomes thankful. They speak words, they do things that show God they are grateful. In marriage, a grateful husband, a grateful wife, they say it and then they do things. Then there are behaviors that show wrong attitude. But attitude is invisible. But it is what decides your attitude in life. Anytime a miracle of multiplication happens in the Bible, Check what the Bible said. Jesus will take five robes. There are 5,000 to feed. Instead of saying, look at the multitude that we need to feed, and we are broke, we don't even have money. It's only these five loaves. What can five loaves do? No. He will take five and say, Lord, thank you that there are at least five. Thank you for providing five. Because this five is a seed. Inside the seed is a tree. In that tree that is inside the seed, there are more fruits and more seeds. Inside those seeds, that is inside that tree, that is inside the seed, is a forest. So thank you, because these five look like only five, but it's actually a forest that I'm holding in my hand. It can feed 5,000 if we can. So we hand it into your hand. I ask that you bless and multiply. And they said, go and start sharing it. You see, when you have five, it can meet your needs. Sow it. It will create the harvest that can meet your needs. But you see, brothers and sisters, it's not just coming to give something to God. Give it with what? The right attitude. What type of attitude? He said, God loves what? A cheerful giver. Show them that scripture. If you see, King James said, cheerful giver. Another translation said, a thankful giver. Give with another attitude called faith. That's the attitude a farmer has when he takes the little seeds he has and put in the ground. He knows that that will create a harvest that will take care of his whole family. So when I also bring a seed, I have an understanding that I'm creating a future. So I'm not complaining. I eat it, I terminate the future. I sow it, I create abundance. That's why farmers do it. That's why business people take that capital and go and invest in the market instead of buying a car with it. He now creates so much harvest, you call it profit, he can now buy a car and have excess. So the starting point, if you want to create something out of nothing, like God, you start it with an idea. You start it with a vision. Everything is created twice. Can I borrow my friends again? There is first mental creation. This one comes first. Then physical creation, manifestation. Everything is created twice. How was this building created? It was first created on paper and then finished. After it is finished, you now hire a contractor to create the physical equivalent of that paper. Now, if you bring a tractor and destroy this place now, you have not destroyed the building because it's still exists. If there is a court case, when the court case is over, you know what you do? You go back, bring that paper. You ask contractor, reproduce it. That's why if a human being dies, we have understood now. It's a secret that only God had before. Now human beings operate it. If you get ordinary one hair for him and keep it in the lab, if you get ordinary one piece of his body, piece of his bone, and preserve it, just a tiny piece of it, if you cut his nail and keep it, 5,000 years after, you can reproduce that man. Once you have one of his DNA, one of his gene, you can reproduce the same man. That's what they are calling cloning now. Actually, the international community has outlawed it. But the other day, I was watching a Japanese man who came to TV with his clone. I don't know what is allowed in Japan, but he has done it already. He was telling in the interview, he said, one time he had a conference, and the guy is his twin, exactly like that man. He said he had a conference. He said, these are some of the advantages. He's trying to encourage people to start doing it. He had a conference. He sent this one. And he went there and spoke, and he was at home watching it on TV. He said, and they didn't know that he didn't come. And as he was talking, I was looking at that other man, and I was saying, What kind of crazy thing is this? You can clone a cat. You can clone a lion. You can clone. And what do you need? DNA is invisible. Okay, look at what just happened. There is a type of animal, they look like elephants, they have trunks like elephants, they are called mammoths. They existed in places like Russia and so on. Many of them have died for hundreds of years, but many of them were frozen in ice. You know, if you know about Siberia, Russia is one of the coldest parts of the world, just like northern part of Canada, frozen in ice. So they broke the ice and brought one of them. And they said that one had been there for hundreds of years. And they took a piece off. And they went to clone a whole mammoth. They said, the species have been wiped out. We will reproduce the species, reintroduce them into the forest. That's why God never creates anything. He creates one and he gets every other person out of it. One human being was the only thing he created. When he wanted a wife, guess where he went? He went to that one and picked a rib and produced a wife. When he wants children, he will go to two of them and get it. When he wanted 7.2 billion people, he went to them and got it. Inside the seed is a forest. It's because of this principle that resurrection is possible. Because God keeps the architectural drawing of every human being. Because you know, some of people who are dead in Christ are buried in the grave. So when we talk about resurrection, and they will come back out of the grave like Jesus Christ and come with resurrection body, it's easier for people to think about. In Lagos, I see them buying special places, VGC, garden, you know, burial ground, and I'm sure you have such places in Port Harcourt. What about the one that was burnt to ashes? What about the one that burnt in the plane crash? And all that was picked was ashes. What about the Indians that do cremation? When they finish burning a human being, they put you in a container and carry you like this. How can God, if there is a Christian among the burnt people, how can God get his body back? All he needs is one strand of DNA. One. One that is tinier than a grain of sand with one strand of DNA is the seed. You grow the whole thing all over again. God actually said in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 that burying a human being is like planting a seed, and that resurrection is like when the seed germinates and bring out a tree. The tree usually look different from the seed, but it actually came out, a seed might be round. A tree is tall with branches. He said that's how the resurrection body comes out of the one you bury. Hey, is somebody here? Are you still here? You know, every spiritual truth in the Bible or in reality has something in the natural that can explain it. When God wants to talk about his relationship with us, he will use marriage. When God wants to teach you about sowing, he will talk about farming. All truths are parallel. Anything you find in the spirit, there is a natural equivalent. If you find it in the natural, there is a spiritual equivalent. And the truth is, even if you take all that DNA and all that whatever and burn them and destroy them, if it's possible, but it's not. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only be converted from one form to another. It cannot be destroyed. Even when you think you have destroyed it, it has turned to gas. It's still existing. Reduce me to a cobble. It doesn't stop me from building a 10,000 seater. You can create something out of nothing. You can build that house where you lost your job. You can grow a 100,000 seater member where you only have 10 people. Turn that 10 into seeds. Just spend 30 days and train them. Put all the resources in them. Tell each one to go and reach 100 people. And that 10 people will turn to 1,000. Turn the 1,000 back into seed. Because since your goal was 10,000, you have not reached. Don't start consumption and relax. Turn all of them into seed. Take 500. Train them well. Tell them to go and reach 100 people. 500. That's 50,000 people. If 100,000 is where you're going, take another 1,000. Train them. We leave the rest to be enjoying church and be useless. Just 1,000. Train them very well. Like this, what you're doing, this is what you did this weekend. You are farming. A pastor is a farmer. He farms human resources. A teacher is a farmer. They are farming human potential. A businessman is a farmer. He's farming his capital to grow. The one that is raising cattle, animal, is a farmer. Everybody is a farmer. Your harvest depends on what you started with, what you sowed. Everybody. Parents are farmers. It's human resource that you're farming in your house. It depends on what you start with. It's the seed that decides the harvest. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So when you see a wise businessman, governor is coming to his local government. He say, Your Excellency, I want to organize your reception, organize, bring people that are beating drum, and they print all those things. Your Excellency, you're working. It's one man that's sponsoring all that. Don't think he's a fool. He is called political entrepreneur. Do you know what his business is? Doing business with government. Other thing he's doing is investment. He didn't throw his money away. Because he's going to ask for the contract of the road leading to that place. To be the one to construct the bridge. But because there is showing first, he will get it. Or ask me, who will you give contract as a governor? The one that financed you or the one that were campaigning against you? Answer me.
The one that will finance.
Born again or not. If you like, preach against corruption for now till Jesus comes. That is what will see happen. Who will you give contract as a governor? The one you were begging. He doesn't believe that you will win. Or the one that brought his money and took risk on you.
The one that invested in the business.
So who will God give a harvest? The one that sits in church, just hearing the word. Or the one that sows to finance his kingdom.
The one that sows to finance the kingdom.
Begging God for prosperity for now till Jesus come will not change anything. Do you know what prayer gets? When you send worship up, what comes down? The harvest is the presence of God. But if you want breakthrough, finance, the seed must be what? Finance. If you send prayer, you get divine intervention. If you send worship, you get the presence of God. If you put money on the altar, then a financial breakthrough occurs. Why don't you go to market on Monday? And sow prayer on the market. Maybe electronics market in Port Harcourt or where I bless this market with prayer. I pray for every customer. And I pray for every person doing business here. At the end of the year, balance your balance sheet. The only person that gets money back is one that put money in. Go to stock exchange and sow worship. At the end of the year, what you only have is the presence of God. You will shake, you will fall, you will rise. Oh, the anointing is really here. If you want to convert that power to money, you have to give God something to work with. Do you know it's only one mango that God created? And now he has them in billions. Do you know it's only one species of each animal that he created? You know exactly what he told Noah to do when he was about to destroy the earth. He said, take the male and female into the ark. Don't take more than that. The only thing I want you to preserve is seed. Not harvest. I'm going to wipe everything out. Do you know that the only thing he created among human beings was just one man and his wife? Now he has 7.2 billion people.
each time a child is born, he allows him 18 to 20 something years before he plants him again as a seed. You enjoy him as parents, 21 years, 23, 24, he's starting to be planted, marriage. You think he's an easy thing, getting pregnant and going through the pain. But that's God's method. Sowing and reaping is what keeps the mystery of multiplication. So God, extremely wise, knowing that some aspects are so difficult, like giving birth, so he will put pleasure in sex. Because if you remove that pleasure, no woman will want to go through it. You see her crying in the maternity. God will punish you, John. This is what you did to me. It's causing the husband. God will punish you. The midwife will shout, push! The ones that are born again don't say God will punish you. That's not how we talk. I'm talking about the... Finally, the baby comes out. You would think she would never near any man. You wicked men. That only what you know is how to put it in. You don't know how to go and carry it. Ooh. Just few weeks, so. Few weeks. She has started again. When you want your staff to do a difficult job, put incentive. Put just sprinkle some sugar on top of that bitter thing. Wrap it up. You make drugs the way you make drugs for children. You put the bitter thing inside, cover it with sugary substances. He said, no, I don't want to take the drug. He said, no, it's very sweet. It's like sweet. Put it in your mouth. It will leak. Don't let him leak too much before you will meet the bitter part. Ah, wow, mommy, this is really nice. This is the type of drug you should be giving. Okay, take water. It will take water. Pastor Sarah wanted me to start taking some natural products, you know, all these supplements, whatever. And they brought one they call bitter herbals or bitter whatever. My God, when you take it, 30 minutes after, you are still, the thing is so bitter. I said, thank you, ma'am. Next morning she came. He said, you have not taken your disease. I said, I'm in the spirit. He said, when are you coming out of this way? I said, I'm still doing my devotion. I have to finish. I said, I thought we had a deal. I said, don't you have honey or something to add and stir it? She had disarmed me from everything. You can't take sugar. You can't take whatever. You give me pap. How can somebody just take that pap without? So that's what God does. He wants you to have vitamins. He wants to have different things that will help you. So he made the apple, put some, sprinkled it with some. You bite it. Wow, nice, 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 nice. It's a drug that you are taking, oh. Drug. If you take enough of it, you won't need the one the doctors give you. How do you create something out of nothing? Hebrews 11 verse 3. You use invisible raw materials to do it. You know, one time my friend was preaching. He said, God created the world out of nothing. He is partly correct. He's 50% correct. Yes, I will agree with him because what God used was not visible. But the truth is that God used raw materials to create everything. What he did is that he started with invisible raw materials. So the first was a dream. And I was teaching my kids this thing that you can create the kind of future you want, starting with a dream. Do what an architect does. Paint a clear picture of the kind of future you want.
and be pregnant with it. I said, the moment that dream becomes fertilized, is you are like a pregnant woman. It is what you carry inside that you will deliver. The dreams of today becomes the realities of tomorrow. Become pregnant with a new future. The way you change the present and change the past is by catching a vision of a preferred future. If you don't know how to do that, then get a very passionate desire. A desire that is so strong in you that it possesses you. The only thing I can compare that to is when you are chasing a woman and you really want her. Become that passionate with your dream. Then you don't have enough forces on earth to stop you from realizing it. Because a man that has a vision is a pregnant man. A man that has a dream is a pregnant man. A man that has a burning desire is a pregnant man. A man that has an idea that he believes in is a pregnant man. So, to make sure that that dream will happen, plant it, fertilize it. You say, how? Put it down on paper. Once you're able to define it clearly on paper, you see how God defines the marriage supper of the Lamb. Even the rapture, he has defined everything for us. And Jesus will come riding on white horse, and the dead in Christ will rise. Everything about the future, God will define it first. Put it down on paper. You start maybe by writing it in a diary, describing it. But do you know, that one you wrote on the diary is not enough. Paint that thing, put it in your room. Even if you don't leave, you are squatting, put it somewhere on top of your mirror. Each every morning when you come to, you will see it again. 50,000 members, church. That's what I'm building. A very fine mansion. You can even go snap one picture, go to the internet, download the type of building that looks like what you are, and put it there and write it, my building. This is what I'm going to be building. This is what I want to build for my mom. This is what I want to build for my pastor. I want to thank PCJ. By the next 1-2 years, I'm going to build this and give it to him as a gift. This is what I'm going to build. This is the canon. Paint it, put it there. If it can be there, that you keep seeing it, that you keep seeing it. The only thing that stops dream is when it's removed from your eyes. Because there's a gestation period for every dream. A human being, 9 months. Rat, 3 weeks. Elephant, 2 years. They have different gestation periods. Gestation period for building a house might be different for the gestation period for buying a car. Get a picture of that car, paste it where you'll be seeing it. Let me tell you, I don't have the time. There are many things that happen between the time you get pregnant and the time you deliver. Some people mismanage their gestation and they abort. You know what happens? When a dream is not written, when a dream is not kept before you, the money to get it will come, but you will use it for some other thing. Every time money enters your hands, some things happen. Money should be going towards your dream or going as a seed in the kingdom. Yes? Or as a seed to get that dream happen. If it's not going there, many a time abortion is happening. And then you get pregnant again. And you are delaying the time. They say you can't have a baby. Just get a picture of yourself with your tummy. And be seeing it. You see, that picture is stronger than the doctor's verdict. Because it's the invisible that controls what? PCJ, this is how God dealt with it. A barren man. He's not just barren, he's old. If he was barren, he was still 30. That would be. The wife is 25. That would be wonderful. We have hope. There is still ovulation. But the man started this journey at 75. And he had this baby at 100, 99. By the time the baby came at 100, the wife, 10 years gap between them, 90 years. You know, how? It's not possible again. How do you create something out of nothing? How do you do the impossible when everything in the natural is opposite? How do you do that? God told him, you're going to have a baby. He was trying to give him a dream, something to live for. Do you know why God gives you purpose, prophesies to you why you're here, so you can catch a new picture for your life? But ordinary words were not enough. There was need for a picture to be painted about this thing you are telling this man. So God told him, don't worry. I see that you are having problem believing this. It's not yet fertilized. Sex is happening, but no fertilization. Each time I talk, you wash it off. Each time I talk, your spirit has not grabbed it. Because there are two things. God brings a word. Your spirit brings faith. You believe it. Fertilization occurs. The man brings the sperm. The woman brings egg. That's how fertilization occurs. This one brings whatever, and the other plant brings pollen grain. And then a crossbreeding occurs, and then fruit happens. I'm sent here this morning to fertilize your dream. And in case you don't have at all, to help you create one. Can I hear an amen? That's why Satan comes to attack us with fear, with negative pictures. You won't amount to anything because he knows that whatever you are pregnant with is what you deliver. If you let Satan impregnate your mind with all kinds of distorted idea of your future, that's what the future holds. So when it happens, don't blame God. You got pregnant for the wrong guy. Whenever you carry those negative pictures, nothing good ever happens to me. I know nothing. You are carrying a bastard. If you don't abort that now, you will deliver it. Change that thing and get a picture of a preferred future. That future that you want. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a future, a hope and a future. Now, let me tell you how God did it for Abraham. He brought him out in the middle of the night. Because dreams are put in you with words, with ideas. But Abraham was aborting because the impossible, the circumstances around him was not allowing him. So God brought him out in the night and said, look at the stars. He said, count them. He was going around counting. He said, Lord, what am I counting the stars? What is all this for? He said, see, that's so shall your seed be. They will be as numerous as the stars. Wow. He said, go to the seashore. Walk and start counting the sun. Abraham said, I can't count it. That's not possible. He said, try. He tried to count. He said, so shall your seed be. Two big pictures now. I can always see. When my faith wants to shake, I look back at the picture. The picture of today becomes the future of tomorrow. The dreams of today become the realities of tomorrow. The pregnancy you carry today becomes the child you give birth to tomorrow. Everybody lift up your hands. Say, Father, impregnate me with your faith, with a vision, with a new dream today. Change all the negative things the enemy has put in my mind. I know that you love me. I know that you have a good plan for me. This is not how I'm going to end. I might not be there yet, but I'm going to reach that place. You brought me out so you can take me to the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Reverend, do you know the only reason they died in the wilderness? They lost. Every now and then they lose that picture. The picture God painted before them that started the journey is, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God does not tell you the pain of pregnancy. He just tells you about the baby. You are going to conceive. You will have this baby. His name will be what? Isaac. Everyone touch your tummy. Say, I have a baby inside me. He's my future. is my dream. Ladies, you know, even the single ones among you that have been pregnant before, you know when you get pregnant, there are some signs inside that follow. After a few days, some signs, some changes. There might be temperature changes in the morning. There might be cessation of menstruation and a couple of other things. And the outside man looks at your tummy. They stay flat. The young girl knows she's pregnant. She goes to the doctor. They do pregnancy tests. No, they can't see a baby, but they know she's pregnant. The other man says, nothing. 3 months, 5 months later, for people who walk by sight, that's when they start saying, yeah, it looks like something is happening. But I have a cousin, you see her today. I remember one time I saw her about 3 weeks after I heard that she had a baby. I said, which kind of nonsense is that? She was never pregnant, so how can she have a baby? She came to, and I gave her some money for something else to support her business. She was never pregnant. She gets pregnant, goes to 9 months, and there's no sign. Physically, she doesn't have all this swollen tummy. I don't understand that one. You know, if I didn't know her, I would say she has stolen a baby somewhere. But she's not a person having childbed problem. She had kids. And all of them happened like this. That's why the Bible says we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. Faith is another type of sight, but it is seen with the eye of the inward man. That's why I'm convinced. Why the person that looks with physical eye is wondering what is going on here. Faith understands the reality of the other dimension. That's why when the doctors give you that injection, they say, 3 days after, you'll be fine. The malaria will go. I don't see anything, but I believe in that. 3 days after, you're fine. The invisible controls the visible. What's the second raw material for creating anything? The spirit. This is called anointing. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of... Now, watch. Where there was darkness, there was confusion, there was disorder, and God wanted order. He wanted vegetation. He wanted beauty. He first dreamt it all. The Bible said it in many places. It talks about the eternal purpose of God. That God has purpose. The eternal plan of God. He first designed all those things in his mind. And according to the Bible, he also documented it on the paper. For example, the Bible said that every part of you were designed, and there is a book written concerning you. Even your body parts, everything is designed. The DNA, everything, the codes, like the architectural drawing, every one of us is there in heaven. Of course, they've shown me my own, and I shared with you guys. Everybody is finished before you are born. Come, sir. God is the one that writes the movie script. And in the movie script, you finish the story. Decide where the story ends. And they live happily, ever happily after. And when you decide that, you write the story all the way from the beginning to the end. Then, sir, you are now a producer. Then they now hire you to produce that thing that has been finished. An architect finishes the building. And I hire a contractor to produce now in the physical what has been finished. You know what you are here to do? You are the one that is the main actor in your script that God wrote.
I have a role in the script. That's why I'm here. That's why you are in my world now. And my role is to be the one that will be your Elizabeth, that will challenge you to get to the end. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? My job is to be the midwife that will help you deliver that baby successfully. PCJ has a role. There are other people. Your parents have a role. You have some friends that have a role. And other actors are brought in, but you are the key player. Other people are brought in to play some roles. Somebody, for example, is brought in to be a wife. Somebody is brought in to be a husband. Somebody is brought in to be a customer. Somebody is brought in to give you that contract. Don't be fooled. This thing has been finished. Like Joseph, you're already a prime minister here. But now, in reality, you are just starting the journey. I don't think you heard me. You see now, so somewhere along the line, come. These are your friends that you thought were your friends. And this one stabs you at the back. The person you thought would have helped you get to where you're going. Don't be discouraged. Because in the script, it was written there. When Jesus was telling them, one of you will betray me, it wasn't Jesus that wrote it. It was written before he was born. If you go to Psalm 109, you see it's recorded 700 years before he was born that Judas was going to do that and how Judas will be paid. He went in another psalm and recorded it. Then this one that is meant to be your wife, watch, it breaks your heart. After you bought her a car, took care of her, she breaks your heart and goes and marries that man. You come to the script, that was not there. According to the script, she was supposed to play the role and go with you. But then there is something about that script. The script is permanent, but the people called to act it are not permanent.
Yes, sir.
This is what a producer does. When he sees that this one is called to play this role, Esther, and he's misbehaving, he comes late to sit. You know, every morning when it's time for to shoot, this guy is coming by 12. Shooting starts by 8. They try to talk to him. They try. He's not playing. What do you think they do? They replace him. Genevieve is doing Shakara. They replace Genevieve with who? Omotala. Omotala is now acting the princess. You know what it means? God has plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D.
Pastor, you don't understand. It was a Mitch's government that was supposed to give me that contract. And before he could sign it, they have left office. Pastor, I'm finished.
Finished? No, you're not finished. They come and go. The plan of God for you is irrevocable. Governors come and go. It's either Amechi signs it, or the new governor signs it, or federal government will sign it, or Shell will even sign it, or one man will just come and sign it. So, my faith is not on people. My faith is in God who wrote the script. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not of evil. I have finished this story and you ended well. The only person that can mess up this thing is this man that is the lead. Because the story is about him and he ended well. You know, James Bond, when you see that place where he looks like he's hanging on a helicopter, you say, oh, James Bond has died. And you see somebody shooting at him. No, those are the twists in a movie now. How would the story be fine if you don't have those twists? How can you start a movie? You already know where it's ending. If it's like that, then it's not interesting. That's what makes your heart beat when you're watching a movie. You understand what I'm talking about? Pastor Sarah took me to go and watch Fast and Furious. I took all the senior pastors. You remember? We went to watch that. That was the day it came out. Fast and Furious 8. The one that came out this year. That day we were in the theater. That night, I had all our senior pastors with me. There is something about that movie and the way it ended about family. So, but I will tell you something.
When the movie started, somewhere along the line, this key guy was seduced by one lady, and then he started working against his team. I turned to her and said, I don't like bad stories, though. When you want to select a movie for me, look for something that ends well. I don't have time for all these bad stories. Some writers are just sadists. They like things to end bad. Have you ever seen where an actor, the lead guy, James Bond, whatever, died in the movie? Nowhere. Even if you put him in a coffin, everybody will relax. We know he. Next thing you see him out again. That's how God writes his story. It always has happy ending. I say you are ending well. You are going to arrive on your promised land. In the name of Jesus. My friends, come. Oh, ooh. Lift up your hands. That glory just fell here like thunder. That future God has been showing you, you are going to arrive there. Let me tell you, sir. This is Joseph. This is the main guy. God's story said he ended up a prime minister. And that's what he showed him. That your brothers came and bowed to you. But now look at one of the brothers that should help him. If you're going to be a prime minister, I'm happy for you. Because me too, I also have a destiny. I'm not envious of you because you're all this prime minister. Me, my name is Levi. I'm going to be the high priest. Prime minister, you'll be bringing me tight. Judah is going to be the king ruling over Israel. Why Joseph is ruling Egypt. So I'm happy for you. Rule Egypt. Me, I rule Israel. But because they lost sight of their own vision, their own destiny, they started being jealous of him. And in the script, they conspired and sold him. What you don't know is that the man that wrote the movie, that is sponsoring the movie, and the producer are in agreement to get this story to end where we want it. You are my big guy, the producer. You are the writer. Two of you. Atik! Ah! The story you have written concerning them will not deviate. It will be completed to precision. And the world will see what you have done with this. Gentlemen, go and sit down. You need to sit down. Can somebody come and help them? Let them get the message. My God, my God, my God, my God. My God. How to create something out of nothing. Once the script is complete, the movie exists. Some of those movies, you are buying them and reading them as novels now. But there are movies. Some of them are selling in the market already. Some have not yet been produced. Write the vision. That's what Habakkuk said. Make it plain upon the tables. That he may run that readeth it. Put that script down. Even if you don't produce it, somebody else will. Write that vision. Design that architectural building. You ask this governor, this is what we want to build for. He doesn't take it. Abia State will do it. Abia doesn't take it. Don't worry, somebody else will do it. The men are changeable, but the script is constant. I don't think you are hearing me. What we only do to the script is to improve it. Write the vision. Make it plain. You've completed level one. Level two is the spirit. The spirit. That's another invisible raw material, but it creates everything that is visible. Even in science now, like chemistry, physics, we discuss this now. We have a name, we call it.
We said you start with solid materials, you keep going. After you get to liquid gas, then you move into, and you get to gamma rays, you get to X-ray. These are dimensions in which things exist. You finally get to where you are dealing with electromagnetic waves. And finally, you get to plasma. And after that, every other thing is spirit. Everything goes back to where it started. It is spirit that created plasma that finally gave us atoms and all the things that constituted finally what we call matter. Sometimes I pass the spirit into people's bodies. They go back to it, they say the tumor has disappeared. It just dematerialized. That's how that woman that came sat in my front for 3 days seminar. The doctors have removed her womb. Get the spirit in, it will create a new one. And the Spirit of God moved. Genesis chapter 1, upon the face of the waters. So this is what every church, every believer must learn to do. To get this particular raw material, you learn to worship. To get it, you learn to pray. To get it, you learn to spend time with God. The way you put up solar panel up there, and it stays there for hours while the sun is shining. It absorbs so much solar energy. So when the sun goes down, it starts powering your house, your appliances. That's how when you spend time in the presence of God, your human spirit absorbs so much of divine energy. That is the Spirit of God. That's what you come out with. The sick get healed. The blind hears. But that is not the only thing it can do. You become a man of worship. A man of prayer. Sometimes you get in the presence of God, you don't even say much, but you just spend time with him. Just appreciate, just adore him. And your spirit will be absorbing his presence like solar panel absorbs sunlight. That's what the leaves do for us in the forest. Any leaf you see is a solar panel. It's from leaves that we learn how to make solar panels. They absorb solar energy and convert it to apple, convert it to yam, convert it to tubers. That's storage. Because solar panel absorb, the batteries store the energy they absorb. That's how your house is powered. That's what you do. That power, the power of the Holy Ghost, is out there and is pouring every day, 24 hours. If you want prayer, you start converting, you start absorbing. Worship, you start absorbing. As you are hearing the word, you are absorbing that energy. The Spirit of God moves. If a church has a very good intercessory department, there will be the moving of the spirits in the services. So you have the second element for creating the impossible. For creating money where money does not exist. Babies where babies don't exist. Marriages where marriages don't exist. Opportunities where opportunities don't exist. Connection where connection does not exist. Because in the realm of the spirit, there is nothing impossible. And once the spirit is in place, then the third dimension, the third raw material is deployed. It is called words. Words. Words are raw materials. And words are things. Like I said, dreams. Dreams, they are raw materials and they are tangible things. Dreams,
Let me put another word beside it. Ideas. Vision. A man touches his wife. She's ready. And they do their business. Another man doesn't touch her. He talks to her. She becomes ready. And they do the same business. Words are as powerful as material things, and words are actually more powerful than material things.